coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Love Letters, a Bible study on the epistles with Pastor Arno Bessel of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon.
Welcome to the series of Bible studies on the first letter of John. The Christian Church has always faced adversities originated in her midst or thrown at her from outside. Many adversities have been overcome with God's help. Others have plagued the church unceasingly, and others linger for a time, then they retire, but later they return. One of the most dangerous and poisoning adversities is heresy or false teaching. Heresies undermine the foundation of the Christian church. They deceive believers and lead them astray from Christ. They cause division and enmity. They can destroy individuals and whole communities. In Old Testament times, false prophets found their way into God's people and caused damage. In New Testament times, false teachers and heresies plagued the Christian church from the very beginning. The Apostle John was aware of the presence and damaging work of false teachers among the Christians he cared for. Therefore, he wrote to warn and instruct them how to face that adversity. In this regard, we read in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. John rings the alarm, saying to his readers, "Do not believe every spirit." A spirit is a creature without flesh and bones. There are faithful spirits, angels, that serve God and the believers, and there are rebellious spirits, demons, that Satan has disguised in his attempt to nullify the works of Jesus Christ in the lives of people. Satan tried to stop Jesus, but could not. Now he is after those to whom Jesus would give eternal life. There is no neutral ground, and no mortal human being is independent. One either believes in and belongs to the Spirit of God, or one believes in and belongs to Satan and speaks and lives accordingly. In face of this, John urges his readers to test the spirits to see whether they are from God. How can this testing be done? The way forward to test the spirits is to listen to their teachings and to watch their actions in the light of Holy Scriptures. A rigorous examination will indicate what is true and what is wrong. False prophets who were operating among the readers of John's letter spoke by the spirit of the Antichrist and were doing the work of Satan, who always tries to deceive human beings by counterfeiting the wonderful works of God. The main point to take into account to test the spirits is the teaching about Jesus Christ. Jesus' human nature and divine nature trace the dividing boundaries between false spirits and teachers of the true gospel. The false teachers of John's time denied the full humanity of Christ. Therefore, John says that every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. To confess the man Jesus Christ as Lord and God in the flesh is the confession of all the apostolic eyewitnesses. The apostles saw, heard, and touched the resurrected Christ who appeared to them in flesh and bone. Teachers of the true gospel confess and proclaim that Jesus is God incarnate in human flesh. False teachers who deny the true nature of Jesus Christ are to be identified among the antichrists, the final Antichrist will not be something new, but will be the ultimate embodiment of all the Antichrist spirits that have perverted truth and propagated satanic lies since the beginning. The Apostle John continues to advise his readers, writing in his first letter, chapter 4, verses 4 to 6. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Once again, the Apostle addresses tenderly his readers, calling them little children. This indicates a close relationship within the family of faith and a genuine care of a pastor for church members. John traces a comparison between believers and false teachers. Believers are from God. False teachers and unbelievers are from the world. Each of them sustains his personal beliefs and lifestyle and behaves accordingly. Believers are from God. They have been born of God through holy baptism and the Word of God. They are children of God, loved by the Heavenly Father and redeemed by the Savior. Jesus Christ dwells within every believer. Therefore, believers have overcome the attacks of false teachers through faith in Jesus. Believers have nothing to fear because God is greater than Satan and his agents. Satan usurped the dominion over the earth that God had entrusted to Adam in the beginning. But Christ's crucifixion and resurrection decisively overturned the dominion Satan usurped. Satan is very angry because he knows that his time is short. Although Satan and his host tempt and try to pervert believers, they are guarded in the Lord's hand. Satan cannot harm those who have Christ dwelling in them through faith in him. This is the picture of believers. The picture of false teachers and unbelievers stands in gross contrast to the picture of believers. False teachers and unbelievers are from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world, and the world listens to them, remarks the Apostle. They are their own gods and trust in the gods of the world, including power, wealth, status, sexual pleasure, entertainment, and the like. These are the things that fill their interests, time, talk, and occupations. The speech of false teachers pleases unbelievers, and they listen to them. On the other hand, those who are from God are heard by fellow believers. All who are in the fellowship with God recognize and listen to the true teaching of Christ. The true teaching is found in Scriptures. Under the scrutiny of the Scriptures, the truth can be distinguished from error. In the sequence of his writing, John states in his first letter, chapter 4, verses 7 to 12. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. A number of attributes can be ascribed to God. All of them are impressive. The Apostle John highlights time and again in his letter the attribute of love. Each time John comes back to the subject of love, he broadens, expands, and enhances its significance. God not only speaks of love and recommends us to love, God is love. His essence, His being, His nature is love. Sacrificial love, pure love, perfect love. Because God is love, He also acts in love and loves those who do not deserve to be loved. God's love towards us is manifested in the fact that He created us and sustains our lives. God's love towards us is manifested in giving us Holy Scriptures, in which He reveals Himself as the true God, the one we can trust, and the one on whom we can rely. Above all, God's love is unveiled in giving us His very Son Jesus. The Apostle says, "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world, so that we might live through Him." The sending of His only begotten Son in flesh and bone into the world is undoubtedly the greatest demonstration of God's love. What was the purpose of God sending His Son? God did not send Jesus into the world for a tour of entertainment, leisure, and fun. God did not send His Son because we loved Him or because we had something special to offer to Him. God sent His Son to unlovely people who hated, who were His enemies, who were dying in their sins. The Apostle reinforces what God's love is like. He says, "In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Jesus was made flesh, took on Himself our sin and guilt, suffered and died on the cross. There is no greater love than an innocent man dying for guilty fellows. That's what Jesus did. Through the spilling of His blood on the cross on behalf of sinners, Jesus satisfied the demands of God's holy justice and wrath against sin. He obtained forgiveness of sins and grants freely forgiveness to all who believe in Him. Where forgiveness of sins is given, there also life is granted, life eternal. From God, the source of love, love flows to us. Love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God, states the Apostle. In His Word and in the sacrament of holy baptism, God gave His love to us and made us lovers. We love because God loved us first. God's love is meant to be channeled through us in the direction to our neighbor. John emphasizes that if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Since we have received and continue to receive God's undeserved love, we cannot any different than loving people around us. Love is expected to be put into practice, first of all, at home, between husband and wife, parents and children, and between siblings. From the home, love is expected to expand its circle towards those who live, study, and work next to us. From there onwards, love shall know no boundaries, but is intended to reach out to anybody in need. The Apostle makes the observation that no one has ever seen God. True, no mortal sinner has ever seen God directly and fully. A sinner may see God only through faith in Jesus Christ. Just as we cannot see God except through faith in Jesus, so also we have no way serving God except by loving our neighbor through faith in Jesus. God's love for us achieves its purpose in us when it causes us to love others. As we love others, we know that God's love is remaining in us. The apostle develops further the theme of love in 1 John chapter 4, verses 13 to 21. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. In these verses, John expresses in other words what he mainly said earlier. He stresses again the fact that God is love. Out of love, the Heavenly Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Due to God's love, we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God's love for us in Christ has a purpose and a goal it wants to achieve in us. The goal of God's love is that we believe this so strongly that we have no fear of eternal punishment at all, because God poured out his entire wrath against sin upon his Son, Jesus. God emptied all his wrath upon Jesus, so that there is none left for us. We are God's children by adoption through faith in Jesus, who became our brother, so that we might be children of God. Every believer is, by God's grace, a perfect and righteous child of God, and in this there is no fear of judgment. Because of love, God abides in us, and we abide in him. We are nourished by God's love and receive God's love constantly. As we receive God's love, we are told to let divine love stream into the lives of others. This is the natural course of love, to love back God and to love our neighbor. John states, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Christians confess that Jesus is the Son of God who loved them and is their Savior. Faith in Jesus is expressed in words, attitudes, and actions. In other words, faith manifests itself in love. Christians are to be known for their love towards God and their love towards the neighbor. Why do Christians love? They love because they have been loved first. All love comes from God, who is love for us and to us. We are able to love one another only because we have received love from Jesus, who loved us first. Thank you for reflecting with us in this study. Please join us again next time.
This study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.